This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. An alhamdulillahi na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. As it was announced and advertised, today's lecture is the end of the series, making things clear, dealing with these different issues that are connected to some of the confusion that our community we're dealing with these days. It's particularly important, especially for you younger people in Al-Islam, because if you grow up in Al-Islam and you don't comprehend these types of important affairs, the confusion will be perpetual, it will be something that's not going to stop. So we want to take these opportunities, inshallah, to explain and to clarify so that we'll get a grip on this monster of Muslims being divided amongst themselves unnecessarily. The other day, one of the sheikhs who participated in the winter program, was his first time coming. He was from Al-Kuwait, the Sheikh Muhammad Al-Dawi, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he gave a lecture before he did his talks about those hadith that are in Bulugh al-Muram. And he began his lecture by something that I thought was really important when he said that in Al-Islam we have what is known as the Dururiyat al-Khamsa, the five basic necessities that Islam came to protect, whether you are Muslim or you are non-Muslim, but especially for the Islamic society. They are called the Dururiyat al-Khamsa. Al-Islam came to protect your deen, came to protect your life, it came to protect your wealth, it came to protect your intellect, and Al-Islam came to protect your honor. And this is why we have in this religion the legislation that we have. Allah made haram, for an example, murdering people. And Allah Azza wa Jal made different things halal and different things wajib, so that these five things can be protected. The Sheikh, Hafidhullah, he mentioned that if it were permissible to add another component to these five Dururiyat al-Khamsa, if a person wanted to add, he can add on to it. Islam came to safeguard and to take care of and to foster unity amongst the Muslims. And Islam came making it haram for us to be divided amongst ourselves. Unfortunately, division is something that is commonplace and is natural. Even with all of the people who are sitting in front of me, we're divided sometimes, even with and amongst the people who are the closest people to us. We're divided from our relatives who are close, and some of us are divided from our relatives who are distant. We have ex-wives who have children. We're divided from them. We're divided in the masajid. This masjid doesn't like that masjid. In every single masjid, people in that same masjid are divided amongst themselves. This is the condition of our community. And it's something that comes from the qadr and the qada, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prophesied it. But the point here is, anyone who wants to be a Muslim, he's trying to be a Muslim, he or she needs to understand that unity in Al-Islam is an integral part of our religion. Being together is from the usul of this religion. It's from some of the most important lessons that Al-Islam wants us to take care of. We just pray Salat al-Isha. Salat is an integral part of our religion. As zakat and fast and hajj, all of those things are extremely important. Taking care of your parents and being respectful, very important. But in addition to all of that, staying united and not being a person who, because of you, Muslims are divided. Too many proofs, wallahi. The Prophet described the believer sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said about the believer al-mu'min, ya'laf wa yu'laf, wa la khayra fi man la ya'laf wa la yu'laf. The believer is the person who he tries to connect to other people. He socializes. He goes to their walimas, he goes to their aqiqah, he invites them, he tries to connect. He is a sociable person with what is moderate. He said the mu'min is a person who connects to people. And when they try to connect to him, he accommodates them. And there's no good in the one who doesn't initiate connecting to others, or when they want to connect to him, they don't accommodate them. So that's one of the many hadith that describe this is how the Muslim is. Some people are naturally introverted and they're not sociable. There's nothing wrong with that. You're an introverted person, you're a quiet person, you have social anxiety where you don't want to be in front of people and you get nervous about mixing people. This hadith is not talking about that. This hadith is talking about a person not wanting to be with people just because he wants to be by himself. And the person does whatever they can do in order to divide and disrupt the unity. So we have too many halals and too many harams about that. He told the people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa minna man khabbaba imra'atan 'ala zawjiha. He is not from us, the individual who breaks the relationship between a man and his wife. So amongst our community members are those people who they seek to destroy marriages of their own relatives, not to mention the people not related. That's one of the many things that Allah Ta'ala has made haram. And he's made many things haram so that we don't compromise this unity that we're going to explain what we're talking about. The Prophet mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in proving the importance of unity. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, inna allaha yarda lakum thalatha wa yaskhutu lakum thalatha, yarda lakum in ta'buduhu wa la tushriku bihi shay'a, wa in ta'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraku, wa in tanasahu man walla allahu amrakum. Allah loves three things for this community, and he hates three things for this community. He loves that you worship him alone, and you don't worship anything and anyone else along with Allah. And he loves that you people hold on all together to the rope of Allah, and you're not divided amongst yourselves. So after the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Ta'ala's Prophet mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah loves for people in this ummah to be united amongst themselves and not to be disunited. And the last thing, he loves that you give advice to the one that Allah has put in charge of your affairs. And that's also a part of how unity is accomplished, that we have leadership in our religion. A man here is the husband, he's the imam of his house. His wife has to know who's the imam. The children have to know who's the imam. If there is a mother or a wife in the house and she's the imam, there's going to be khalal, there's going to be problems. The children, they're the ones who were talking to their parents, telling their parents, hey ma, you get in time out. Hey dad, you go to time out. And the children talk to the parents in the way that's disrespectful. There's going to be folder confusion in that situation. The father, the husband, is the imam. It may be that the father's personality is that he's da'if. He's a weak person. So we have some women in our community from our relatives. They are the ones who tell people what to do. You're going to marry who your aunties say is going to get and so forth. No, that's not the Islamic way. And when it happens like that, there's going to be problems. So the fact that we have leadership, an imam, the leader of the Muslims, that's to keep things organized so that every group and everybody, they don't go against doing what they want to do. One of the great books that Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great books that he taught or he wrote, and we're going to teach that book in this masjid, inshallah, is he wrote a book called Masail al-Jahiliya, the issues of al-Jahiliya, that the people were upon before the Prophet came to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to do a lot of things before Rasulullah came to them, and it was common and it was part of who they were. It helped to identify the non-Muslims of Quraysh. One of the issues that he mentioned, the people of al-Jahiliyyah, they were upon at-tafarruq wa-ikhtilaf. They were disunited amongst themselves. So I look into the audience, and this one is Asian Pakistani, and this one over here is a Pushtun, and this one over here is a Somali. That one over here is from Cameroon, and that one he over here is from wherever, he's a revert. This one is young, this one is old. If we left it like that, then everybody can just do his own thing. I'm African-American. I have my own unique way of how I live, where I come from. So I'm going to be divided from all of you. You'll be all divided from me. And then that's going to compromise the strength of our community, the ability of our community. And I'm absolutely baffled by the fact that there are people from all of these groups, Salafis, Ikhwanis, Sufi, Tablighi, Shiite. There are people from all of these groups who really believe that their way is the only way, it's the only way, and everybody else is astray. When in fact, if you were to come close and you were to look how they understand religion and practice in religion, it's just Hizbiyah. That's all it is. And it's not what Allah wants. Allah does not want you to be an individual who exists and you hate the Muslims. This is the way of ash-shirk and the people of ash-shirk. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِيحُونَ. Muslim, Abdullah, you young people, everybody here, do not be from the polytheist, those people who divide their religion into groups, and every single group is happy with what they have. So I sit here, and as I told you, just on the strength of being an African-American Muslim, that alone can cause me to say, I don't want to be with any of you, because none of you are African-Americans, and none of you come from where I come from. And this one who's a Pushtun, he says the same thing. And that one over here is a Mirpuri, he says the same thing. That one from Darod, he says, and on and on and on, and then as a result of that, our community will be in a situation where we find what's going on today. This community can't do anything in terms of their hands as it relates to China and what's going on in China. Our community can't do anything as it relates to what's going on in Burma. Our community can't do anything as it relates to what's going on in India. What I mean we can't do anything is we're so disunited that those people don't fear us. They don't care. They don't care. We can do some things like make dua, you know, things like that. And I'm not going to say making dua is a small thing, but what I'm talking about is I have my family here with me right now. Someone wants to come and harm one of my family members, they're going to have to come through me. They're going to have to come through all of us in order to get to that one person. That's the benefit of being together, from the many benefits. But we sit in this masjid, in this audience right now, and there are those of us who hate other Muslims, and we religiously hate them for no reason other than they are different than we are. So it's from the affairs of ash-shirk, and it's from the affairs of al-kufr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought a religion, and he showed us, practically speaking, with his companions, a practical method of how he brought people together. You have to remember, Ikhwani, that in Mecca, in the Arabian Peninsula, those people were divided amongst themselves. They had a lot of problems. They found it very difficult to become united, even within one tribe. They wouldn't stay united, although it was in their best interest. So the Prophet came with a group of people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bilal ibn Rabah was from Ethiopia. He was black. Abu Bakr and Umar first. Abu Bakr and Umar, they're from the Arabs, from the best of the Arabs. Bilal, he came from another place. He's different from them. Suhaib al-Rumi came from Rome. He's different from all of them. Salman al-Farisi, he came from Persia. He's different than all of them. This is what we found. We even found some of the Jews of Medina, for an example, who were different. Abdullah ibn Salam, our mother, Safiya bintu Huyay, they were from the Jews. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in so many ayahs of the Quran, so many ayahs, لو انفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بينهم. لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. If you, Muhammad, had spent everything that was in the earth in terms of wealth, money, oil, diamonds, gold, if you were to pay each person so much money to say, be united, you never would have accomplished any unification like that. You give him 100,000, him 100,000, this one 1,000,000. Just give them all of the wealth that's in the world. You go over there, you can have this big garden. It's going to give you all this produce, apples, oranges, dates, whatever. All of the money you could possibly think of. And just distribute it amongst the Muslims, amongst it. That's not going to keep people united. That's because everybody is on a different program. Everybody is thinking a different way. Allah told him in that ayat, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah is the one who brought you people together. Allah brought your hearts together. Brought your hearts together with and by this salat, the salat that we just made. One imam, the leader. He reads the Quran, we listen. We put our feet together, our shoes together. He makes the different movements, we follow him. And the Prophet used to tell people, don't pass me by. La tusabiquni. Don't race me in the movements. Wait until I move. And I want to take this opportunity. I was praying to two youngsters. One was on my right, one was on my left. Whenever the imam went into rukur, as soon as they said Allah, they go into rukur. As soon as he says the next thing, we hear and we start moving. Prophet Muhammad said, don't do that. Don't do that. Wait until the imam takes his position. When he gets into rukur, that's when we all follow him and we get into rukur. When he comes up, we don't start to come up when we hear him say, sami, and we start coming up. All of that salat is designed to make our hearts and our minds on the heart and the mind, inshallah, of one person. The tawheed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to. This Quran, his sunnah, what he said do, what he said don't do. All of those issues are designed to keep this Muslim community together. So there are a number of ayat, not one, not two, not three. There are a number of ayat that command us be together and that prohibit us from being divided. Like the statement of Allah Ta'ala addressing the condition that the Ansar were upon and the Muhajireen. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on all together to the rope of Allah and don't be divided. Everybody grab the rope of Allah and don't be divided. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Al-Quran huwa hablullah al-mastud min al-sama'i ila al-ard. اتَّخِذُ بِهِ. The Quran is the rope of Allah that extends from the heavens to the earth. So hold on to it and take it. He's holding on, you holding on, you holding on, and everybody's holding on, understanding this Quran the same way. The same way. And as a result of that, we're going to be together. But if I let the rope go and you hold on, he lets it go and he holds on, he lets it go and he holds on, we're going to have people who are not united. Another ayat from the mini ayat of the Quran. إن الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعة لست فيهم من شيء. Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if this is the case with the Nabi of Islam, then it's the case with anybody who fits this description. Verily, those people who divide their religion up into schisms and groups and schisms, Salafi, Ikhwani, Tablighi, this is your group and you're not trying to hear anybody else. And it's just all about your group. It's not about the teachings of Islam. You have to be with me and my group. Salafi is included in that. And Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned that issue. A group of people call themselves Salafi. And they're just amongst themselves, loving themselves and hating everybody else. And they're not even practicing the religion right. It's one of those many groups. Call it what you want to call it. So the ayat said, verily those people who divide their religion into groups, ya Muhammad, you have nothing to do with them. Lest minhum fi shay. It is not permissible, I say here to you, without biting my tongue, without talking out of the side of my throat, my neck, it is not permissible for a Muslim to be with any of these groups today. There's no group other than the Jama'ah of the Muslims and the Imam that is with them, and we'll come to that inshallah. So that's the second ayat, and there are many. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Quran, شَرَعَ لَكُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا وَصَّى بِهِ نُوحًا وَالَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ. So this is not something that is new to the religion that the Prophet brought, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unity, ikhwani, is a natural and normal thing. It's natural and normal. You have a bunch of sons. You know, our children have that rivalry between themselves. And they grow up, when they're young, they're fighting. They don't want to share things, and they're always at each other's throats. There's something we have to sit these kids down and make them understand. No, you got it wrong, and you have it twisted. You guys are supposed to be together, protecting each other and being gentle. There are going to be some misunderstandings. That's natural and normal. But the thing that we have that's normal in this society, the me, myself, and I society, as the children grow up, what they're exposed to, what they watch, every kid thinks what his opinion is, what should happen. So as a result of that, he doesn't want to allow the other brother or sister or sibling to do it before him and to use it before him. No, you got it twisted. And if the children have it twisted, our community have it twisted as well. Allah does not want this division between us. This is something that is normal and natural, even with people who don't have religion. You know, criminals from the mafia. The mafia, wherever you go, every family wants to protect its own interests. It's the people who have something wrong with them, their intellect, where they believe it's beneficial and conducive to be divided. I just give that as an example. I don't condone the mafia. I'm just saying, if criminals like that have enough sense, then what about the people of Al-Islam? So the ayah told us, verily it has been legislated for you people as it was legislated for Nuh. And as we revealed to you this book, Ya Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we also told this to Ibrahim and Musa and Isa, that they should establish the religion and don't have ikhtilaf in the religion, not be divided amongst themselves in the religion. So this is not a dawah that is peculiar and specific to the Ummah of Al-Islam. It is something that is normal and natural. And any group of people on the face of the earth who are not looking at their united, combined interests, they are messed up amongst themselves, there's a problem there. You are going against the fitrah. Which brings us to this issue of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi in showing practically, teaching the people this thing, and he used to talk in a way and teach in the way where people can see what he was saying so that they can comprehend what's the message. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet took a stick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he drew a long line in the sand while the people were watching. And he told the people, Hadha siratullah al-mustaqim. This is the path of Allah that is straight, the religion of Al-Islam. No khurafat, no bid'ah, no shirk, no craziness. It's the kitab and the sunnah, pure Islam, the way it was given to the companions. That's what he meant by that straight line. This straight line represents pure Islam. It doesn't represent the stuff that people put in it and they call it Islam, like the maulid, like salat al-raghaib, like Shab al-Barat, Laylat al-Barat, none of that stuff. Hazir, Nazir, none of that stuff did he mean when he made that long line. All of that stuff is out. Asabi al-Ansariya, racism, women's liberation, the way they want it. Al-Aqlaniya, putting your intellect, none of that is intended. The pure religion that he brought, he said, this is the Sirat of Allah, and he described it. He said it is mustaqim. Like we say, Dina Sirat al-Mustaqim. We don't ask Allah to send us to the strong, the way that's wrong. Send us to the right way, the way of how Islam was first revealed. After that, he wrote some lines he drew some lines in the sand to the right, short lines. And he drew short lines to the left. And then he told the people, Wahadi Subul, على كل رأس منها شيطان يدعو إليها. And these are short divergent paths. You want to be a Muslim and you want to take a shortcut. You don't want the Sirat al-Mustaqim. You want to practice al-Islam in the way in which the lady gives the khutbah to Jummah, or the lady comes and she prays Salat with us, or I take 500, 100, 200 pounds, I give it to the pir, and he makes dua for me, and I don't pray. We want that short way. And there are many, many short ways of Islam. He said, on the top of every one of these lines is a shaitan calling the people to it, inviting the people to it. And then he read an ayat of the Quran to support that. Another ayat, in addition to the ones that we have mentioned. And that's the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنَّ هَذِهِ السَّرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبَلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ مَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. He did this illustration, and then he read the ayat. And this is my straight path that is mustaqim, so follow it, and do not follow the divergent paths. Don't follow this group. Don't follow the Tijaniyya. Don't follow Sufism. Don't follow this, don't follow that. Follow what the Prophet was upon. And as I mentioned, Ikhwani, a person can come, and I think you all know, that I am a caller to and a proponent of a Salafiyya. A Salafiyya meaning what? The Quran and the Sunnah, the way the companions understood it. And any and everybody, no matter what his color and where she or he comes from, should and could be upon that. I'm not talking about be with Green Lane Masjid or be with Wright Street SP or be with anybody for that matter. I'm talking about the concept and the theory. And this is my straight way, the way that came down to Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and the rest of those companions. May Allah be pleased with them. So follow that way and do not be divided amongst yourselves. This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has told you to do. Which brings us to the issue of knowing that the divisions in this community, they come as a result of the qadr of Allah. It's something that Allah decreed. He told his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiallahu anhum, that our community was going to have ikhtilaf, and that we would be at each other's necks, and that that ikhtilaf would lead in some instances to killing and murdering. Boko Haram, Daesh, Al-Qaeda, they killed more Muslims than they killed anybody else. They killed people who don't agree with them from the Muslims more than they killed anybody else. And they call that Islam. But put those extremists on the side. We still have murders taking place right here in the streets of Birmingham, in London, where Muslims are killing each other to decide and find out who's going to be able to sell drugs in that area. That's what we have. Muslims in Birmingham, in London, and other places are stabbing people with these knife crimes, and the many people getting killed. A lot of times it is Muslim on Muslim stabbings and killings. So how can a Muslim in his right mind go out seeking to hurt someone, find out this person's a Muslim, and he still stabs you for no reason other than that's the culture that we are practicing with our children. So the Prophet, that's the culture that we're practicing, that it is prevalent in the society that our youngsters are living in. So look what he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said in an authentic hadith, افترقت اليهود على واحد وسبعين فرقة وافترقت النصارى على ثنتين فرقة وستفترق أمتي على ثلاثة وسبعين فرقة. The Jews broke up into 71 sects. The Christians broke up into 72 sects. And my ummah are going to break up into 73 sects. They didn't have all these sects when the Prophet's companions were here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had people who came from Mecca, the first Muslims, who were called the Muhajireen because they made al-Hijra. So you could say they're kind of like a group. And then we had from Medina, the Ansar, who consisted of two tribes that were at each other's throats in Jahiliyyah, the Khazraj and the Laus. When the Prophet came, all three of those groups came together and they became one. And that was the meaning of the ayahs that we mentioned that were specifically revealed about this. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Ya Muhammad, if you spent all of the money in the earth, that caused the Muhajireen and the Ansar to be united amongst themselves, they would never do it. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ But Allah brought their hearts together. Brought their hearts together, I told you, in Tawheed. When those people came from Mecca and they went to Al-Madinah, Prophet Muhammad said, you from Mecca, you live with this brother who's in Medina. You from Mecca, you live with this brother from Medina. And on and on. So they practically learned the brotherhood of Al-Islam. He started teaching them the do's and the don'ts of the brotherhood of Al-Islam. They comprehended it. Sometimes there were some issues, but the Prophet would always rectify it. With the community today, there's no rectification concerning these issues. No rectification. So those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were not divided. As for this hadith, it clearly shows these are from the issues that we've been prohibited from following Ahlul Kitab in them. The issue of al-ikhtilaf wa al-tafarruq. And there's a strange thing that happened to them and it happened to us as well. We can sit here and read these ayat about the impermissibility of being divided. We can tell about the ahadith that tell about the impermissibility. Everyone heard them before, but we still do it. So it shows that we have knowledge, but we still do it. And this is what happened to them. So Allah mentioned that in the Quran. وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمْ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمْ الْبَيِّنَةِ They did not disagree amongst themselves and fight amongst themselves and split except after knowledge came to them. They knew it was impermissible. They were enlightened to the harms and the evils of ikhtilaf and التفرق, being divided. And they still did it after knowledge. He mentioned in another ayat of the Quran, وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمْ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ They did not make ikhtilaf except after knowledge came between them and that's when they started hating each other and started fighting each other. That's our ummah. لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ وَذَرَاعًا بِذَرَاعٍ This community is going to follow Ahlul Kitab who came before you, Jews and the Christians, the same way that they did, we're going to do. This hadith that's on the table that we just mentioned, that this ummah is going to break up into 73 sects, there's no doubt for anyone who has common sense and anyone who has eyes and an intellect that there are more than 73 sects from our community. And I'm talking about people who are really Muslims. We're not talking about people who are outside of the fold of Islam, but they say that they're Muslims. Like the Qadianis, they say that they're Muslims, but they're outside the fold of Islam. Not because Abu Usama, who accepted Islam in 1986, excommunicated them, but because of what they say that caused the scholar of Islam to put them outside of the religion of Al-Islam. We're not talking about the people outside of the religion. We're talking about the Muslims themselves have more than 73 sects. So how do we harmonize that the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ummah is going to split up into 73 sects, and there are way more than 73 sects. The way we understand that is that the Prophet told the truth, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't lie, ma'adallah, nor did he make a mistake. But the 72 sects that he was mentioning, all those other sects, they come from them. There are 73 different sects, and they're the main sects, and each one of those sects have derivatives, and they have furor, branches. In the past, and over the winter vacation, when we read and taught and learned collectively about the aqidah of the two imams, Abu Zar'a and Abu Hatim al-Razi, rahmatullahi alayhima, we heard about some groups, and we kept hearing the names of these groups. In the beginning of Al-Islam, from the time of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, and even during some of the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the groups sprouted its head up or began. The scholars said that the groups of Al-Islam back then, the Asul of Al-Bid'ah, the four main groups of innovation at the beginning, they were the people from the Rawafid, those people who are Shiite, and they hate the companions. And they curse the companions. May Allah be pleased with them. The people who go overboard and they have ghulu and Ali ibn Abi Talib and Ahlul Bayt. And as it was mentioned, we don't have anything against Ahlul Bayt and so forth and so on. But الروافد, those people who cursed the companions رضي الله عنهم. The second group were the Khawarij, those people who renegade against the Muslims and they fight the Muslims. The Rawafid have different groups. They have different groups. The Khawarij have different groups, but they're the second one. The third one are the Qadariya, the people who made problems with understanding and embracing al-Iman and the Qadr. And they're also the Mu'tazila. You could call them the Mu'tazila as well. And the fourth group is the group that is known as the Murji'a. Those people who said that al-Iman has nothing to do with actions, you will believe it, that's it. But now, during this time, the groups that our youngsters have to be careful about, that every father who has children, he has to school his kids to these groups and about these groups. The mother and the father have to be aware about who your children are hanging out with so that your child doesn't become guilty of what happened in London 3 weeks ago when that young man killed two innocent people. To do what? To prove what point? To help al-Islam in which way? How was al-Islam helped by killing people on the London Bridge? And then 2 days later after that, 3 days later after that, there's a moment in silence, a moment of silence in London by the politicians. And they all bow their heads. And all of them are acting like it's a real bad thing. And it is. But while they're having their moment of silence and while they're acting as if they have insaniya and they're sorry for the murder of innocent people, the two people, and it was bad. While they were doing that, Muslims were being murdered in Palestine because of the foreign policy of America and so forth and so on. Muslims were being murdered and raped in India, murdered and raped in China. So my point here is, when our kids are guilty of doing crimes like that, the media and the powers to be, the people in control, they take that situation and make a narrative to cause the outer community, non-Muslims, to be against our religion. You and I, we have to be on top of what's going on with our kids. So from these groups that I say, you all should avoid. The Ikhwan al-Muslimin probably is one of the biggest group in the Muslim world. And some people may be people who are connected to the Ikhwan al-Muslimin because they're in every country with different names, Jamaat al-Islami in Pakistan or whatever. And a person gets upset by saying this. But the scholars of Islam and people of knowledge, they've looked into what these groups are saying and what they believe and their teachers and what their teachers are saying. And it's clear that the Ikhwan al-Muslimin is a group that have a talawun. They change colors. As the wind goes, that's how they blow. Does that mean every person who's on the Ikhwan like that? No. The Ikhwan have some nice people, have some people with knowledge, no doubt about that. But the group itself is a group Muslims shouldn't be a part of. Jamaat al-Tabligh is a Sufi group that doesn't have a lot of knowledge. Does that mean that the people are bad and I'm here to say that they're bad people and they're no good? And no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you can spend your whole lifetime making khuruj with Jamaat al-Tabligh and never learn about your religion. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't be with the Jamaat al-Tabligh. You can be a Muslim without being from any of these groups. The different turq al-Sufiyya, and there are many, Shadhaliya, Tijaniya, all of those Sufi groups. Sufism is not from al-Islam, the way that they're practicing it, what they're saying. Anybody who comes and says, if you were with this Tariqa Sufiya, then you're a good Muslim and not being, you're not. No. There's no proof of that. That's just kalam. These people are extreme. The extreme Muslims today. Hizb ut-Tahrir, all of these groups, and really they're branches from the Ikhwan Muslimin. You have to be aware. I'm here to say to you again, Ikhwani, you don't and you should not be a practitioner, a member of any of these groups. And we're going to open up the floor, inshallah, after the lesson. We're almost done. Because maybe someone is in the group and they're going to bring us proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah that Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, may Allah be pleased with them, they started groups like this. The imams that we love and respect, Al-Imam Ahmed, Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, they were, you don't find that stuff. And I have to mention this because I already mentioned it. Being with a group of people who call themselves Salafi or Ahlul Hadith, and you have to be with a group of people. No, you don't have to be with any group of people like that. As for the concept, I'm a Muslim who I want to understand the religion the correct way of the companions, that's from our religion. That's something that's wajib. That's something that is a no-brainer. There's no choice in that particular issue. So we have to avoid all of those groups. I'm here to tell the members of our community, especially you youngsters, don't be with any of the groups that the Muslims have created for themselves. Can you be in ISOC in your university? Allahumma na'am. Be a part of the ISOC and help the ISOC in your 2, 3, 4 years in a university. So that when you, inshallah, graduate, you'd have helped to leave a positive legacy in that university. That's not a group as such. That's an organized effort by some youngsters in the university. Because once you leave that university, you are not going to travel back to America, call into your ISOC. But the people call to these groups. You young brothers, sisters, don't be with any of these groups. But what's the group that we have to be with? We have to be with the general Muslims. Not any group, with the general Muslims. One of the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him about this fitna that we're living in right now with all of these groups. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when that time happens and it's all of these groups, what should I do? It's going to be all of these groups like we have right now. There's Salafi, SP Salafi, that Hizbi stuff. This one over here, Sufi, all of that. What should we do, Ya Rasulullah? What should I do? He says, stick with the Jama'ah of the Muslims and the Imam. He said, what if they don't have any Imam, Ya Rasulullah? There's no Imam leading everybody. He said, then, i'tazil tilka al-firq kullaha. Avoid all of those groups, Prophet Muhammad said. Someone's going to come and tell me now I should be with a group. Prophet Muhammad said, avoid all of those groups and go and hang on to a tree if you have to. Eat the leaves of the tree. Hatta yudrikak al-maut, until death comes to you. So what's the meaning of this hadith? Stay with the Imam of the Muslims and with the Jama'at. That means if there is a leader from amongst the Muslims, he may not necessarily be a person who's on the Sunnah as such. He may be having mistakes, but he's still the leader of the Muslims. And the group of Muslims that are under his supervision and his authority, you have to be with those people. Giving them dawah, living with them, making halal, halal, haram, haram. But when that imam is gone, like what we have in the UK, we don't have any imam. We don't have any imam. It's not talking about the imam of the masjid. It's not talking about the leader of a particular masjid. It's talking about the leader of all of the Muslims in the Muslim world. What if there's no imam? Then stay away from all of them. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he told the people, may Allah be pleased with him, that the jama'at is the truth, is even if you're by yourself. So when there is an imam, the Muslims stay with the group that the imam is under. We pray the salat behind him and the people we put in authority and so forth and so on. When that's not the case like it is right now, don't be with any of those groups. Last thing that I want to mention, I have to make this clear. I hope it's clear, inshallah. When I say we have to be united, the religion of Islam doesn't want us to be united and it's just kalam, rhetoric. Allah told the Prophet about the non-Muslims, the mushrikun, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, tahsabahum jami'a wa qulubahum shatta. Allah said, you think that the non-Muslims are united. You think that. You think they're all united. He said their hearts are divided. This election that's going to happen in America with the Democrats and the Republicans. In both parties, there's a lot of ikhtilaf amongst themselves. And both groups are against each other. And that's how it is in the West. Everybody is not on the same page. No country in this world, everybody is on the same page. Everybody has his own agenda. So you can never look at the non-Muslims and say, look at them, they are united. Allah told his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they may appear to you to make you think that they're united, but their hearts are apart. What's the unity? The unity we're talking about is what we mentioned earlier. The unity of holding on to the Quran and the Sunnah. That's the unity. وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah all together and don't be divided. As for, I'm holding on to the rope of Allah and you 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 holding on to the rope of Allah, and then someone from over here comes with a new rope. We're going to say, nah, we don't want that. We don't want that rope of Ghulam Mirza Ahmed. We don't want that rope. We don't want someone coming cursing the companions. We cannot be united with people like that. We can't be united with people who believe that shirk is from this religion or innovation is from this religion. So when we say unity, it's not just an empty slogan, unity. It is the real, actual application of unity. All right, Ikhwani, this is what we want to mention, inshallah, azza wa jalla. If you brothers have any questions and if anyone here wants to prove to us that these groups are permissible and we misunderstood the ayat, we would love to have that discussion and to hear that from you. So if you brothers have any questions, you can ask your questions. Hal indukum shay? Ibrahim, Ismail, indukum shay? You have a question? Little man, you have a question? Tfadli ya akhi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah, the brother's asking an important question. If we don't choose a madhab, how do we prevent people and ourselves from looking for fatwas that please us and they go along with our hawa and our desires? You don't have to have a madhab. You don't have to belong to a firqa in order to not fatwa shop. A person can have a madhab and he does fatwa shopping because in the madhab itself, there are different opinions in the madhab. So he takes the one that he likes. So that is not a guarantee that a person won't have this thing where he shops for fatwas. The person has to fear Allah and look for the truth. اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء قليلا ما تذكرون. Follow what was revealed to you by your Lord. The truth that comes. The truth that comes to you from your Lord. And the scholars can have different opinions and you take the opinion that makes the most sense to you. It may be right, it may be wrong, but you arrived at it trying your best. And the way you understood it, it could be understood that way. That's not being blamed. There's no blameworthy in that. One of those sheikhs, I believe it was At-Tuwajiri, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, when he gave the Aqidah of the Raziyin, he had mentioned that the ikhtilaf that happens between the people is something that's normal. That the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would ask questions. They would ask questions about Al-Qadr and he would answer those questions that they needed to hear about Al-Qadr. But when the companions started arguing about Al-Qadr amongst themselves, which was from the Asul of the religion, this is the ikhtilaf that we're not supposed to have, and this is the ikhtilaf that leads to a tafarruq. So being on a madhab doesn't prevent a person from fatwa shopping. What prevents them from fatwa shopping is having sincerity and fearing Allah. Because a person can look for whatever he wants to do, and that's just how it is. And Allah knows best. Any more questions, Ikhwani? Any more questions? Fadlan lakum sa. And that's a good point that the brother mentioned. That when it comes to ikhtilaf, two things we should know, and there are a lot of things that we can mention. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسِ أُمَّةَ وَاحِدَةً وَلَكِنْ وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. If Allah wanted to make everybody on the same thing, Allah would have done that. But people will not cease to have ikhtilaf. This is why Allah created them. We cannot help having different opinions and how we understand things differently. There's no problem with that. When you have ikhtilaf in the furu of the religion, those things happen. He says, when you come into the masjid, it's wajib, you must pray tahiyatul masjid. Another person says, no, it's the sunnah. If you sit down, you're not sinning. We're not going to hate each other over that issue because both sides have proofs. But when you have the ikhtilaf in the aqidah of al-Islam, and in the Asul of al-Islam, then this is the problem. That's the first issue. And the second thing is what this brother mentioned. When we do have ikhtilaf, there's something that we can do. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. If you have any ikhtilaf and misunderstanding and differences, refer it to Allah and His Messenger. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. That's better. That's better for you. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you're really true believers. And that's what the companions used to do. Abdullah Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him. He said that the companions were arguing amongst themselves. Not arguing, but everybody was saying, Rasulullah loves me the most. No, he loves me more than anybody else. No, he loves me, because that's how he made everybody feel. Amr ibn al-As said, we said, let's go ask him. Not let's keep fighting and arguing. Let's just go and ask him. Ya Rasulullah, who do you love the most? He said, Aisha. They said, no, we understand, it's your wife, from the men, from us. He said, her father. After that was said, nobody said, no, he loves me the most. Because he told them the answer. He made it clear. And there's another issue that is really important. The etiquette of how to have ikhtilaf. And the scholars of Islam, Ikhwani, used to write books of an ikhtilaf. What issues the scholars have ikhtilaf in? Because once you know the ikhtilaf, you won't be so rough, tough, mean, and nasty when someone is taking another opinion. The man comes in and he has isbal. Whatever he's wearing is below his ankle bone. You're not of that opinion, but you know there's a different opinion in that. So take it easy. Give him dawah to what you're on. Maybe he'll convince you about what he's on, but don't.